We researched 3,000 students across the U.S. about many topics using many questions, but the number one most intriguing thing to us was their answer to this question. We asked them, what do you believe is the best solution for today's problems? Jason, you want to know the answer?
I do.
Well, we're going to get to that later, but here's a hint. It has something to do with what's happening in the United States on November 8th. And so, yes, we are basing this entire episode off of one question that we asked students. And their answer to this question has made us wonder how they came to this conclusion.
And if you're listening to this around the time of its broadcast release, you know what is happening the first Tuesday of November. Election Day. And according to students, it could be a day of great hope, or it could be a day of great despair, because we get to elect a new leader. Now, today on Thought Factory, one response from students that we can't stop thinking about.
I'm Jeff Eckert.
And I'm Jason Brewer. And this is Thought Factory.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how engaged are you in this political cycle, an election? 1 being low and 10 being high.
Oh, this is Logan, and I would give myself an 8 because I feel like I'm pretty involved. I follow all the major news sources on Twitter and on my phone. I constantly look at Politico.com, Fox News, CNN, just to get different perspectives from different news sources. And I like to stay up to date. I've watched the debates, and I discuss current issues with my teachers and my peers at school all the time.
Okay, super, super engaged. All right, who else? How engaged would you say you are in this election?
This is Emily. I would say I'm about a 7 or an 8, and it's mostly because my sister's taking AP Gov, and I'm watching over her shoulder all the time, and I'm seeing these people talk about things, and I'm getting heated, and I'm talking about it with my parents, and my friend groups at school, we all talk about it, but it's sort of the elephant in the room as we go into the elections.
The response to our podcast so far has been amazing. We're grateful. Thank you for listening. And many of you out there know us, and maybe you're getting to know us, and you've listened and rated us. And we just want to stop here at the beginning and say thank you.
Yeah, thank you to all those between 2 and 10,000 listeners that have tuned in and started listening. You know, we want to thank you all.
Yeah, 2 and 10. You mean like 1, 2, 1, 2?
Yeah, between the number 2 and 10,000,
okay.
There is a number between 2 and 10,000 that have tuned
you.
In.
I see what you did there. Thank
so
you for
thank
listening.
Thank you to, I mean, it's either us two,
yeah,
that have listened to it, or 10,000.
Yeah, it could be.
Or anywhere in between.
That's right. Here we are. We mentioned at the beginning, we are in election season, the cycle, and we've probably all had it up to our ears and the information, what we're seeing on media and social media. And it's hard to believe here we are and we're looking at an election for president basically between Trump and Clinton. Like, is this a dream? What's going on? It's just,
and it's
going to
be decided within a week or so, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that's unreal that we're going to have one of those two elected.
And we're going to be either saying President Trump or President Clinton.
Right. Which, is this a dream?
Yeah, we've said President Clinton before, obviously in a different way. But here we are. We find ourselves in this political environment, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And talking about political environments, Jason, you growing up, what was it like with your family?
Yeah, in my household growing up, it wasn't really something that was talked about often. My family wasn't really that passionate about it, in a sense where, you know, they listened to the news occasionally, read the newspaper, but it wasn't something that was just blatant, let's talk about this at the dinner table and let's argue or let's bring it up as a topic for discussion often. It was just something that wasn't that passionate in my family.
Yeah, for me, it was quite different. My dad was a news junkie. Now, this was back in old school times when we had 2 newspapers in the city where I grew up. We had a morning and then an evening newspaper. This is obviously before the internet. So my dad subscribed to both and he read both. And I would often find him sitting in the chair just poring over the newspaper. He watched the morning news. When he was off in the summer from being a teacher, he watched a lot of times the noon news, local, and then evening news, like you know, 2 or 3 hours at night. I mean, it was just crazy how much news you watch. I couldn't believe how much you could squeeze in a day. And because of that, it just more immersed me in a political atmosphere. And I have 3 older brothers, and we tend to get into political discussions, debates, sometimes arguments, and it gets passionate. And for me, I love to play the devil's advocate, just to kind of stand on the outside and throw in little jabs here and there. But from my background, it was, you know, a little bit different than yours. And that definitely has an influence upon who we are as people. And as we're talking about students today, it's going to have an impact on them. And we heard from them about that. Now, our disclaimer here at the beginning is we're talking about politics. We're not advocating for candidates or parties. In fact, we want to stay as far away from that as possible. So as you listen to us today, our goal is clearly not going to be to persuade you to one particular person or party or even necessarily issue. We're just talking about how do politics influence students. And again, the answer to this question, which is driving us, is going to be our focus for the day.
So going back to the question that you asked at the beginning of this podcast, what do you believe is the best solution for today's problems? We asked that question to the students, and we're going to give the answer right now.
Yeah, we presented them with several options in their response. And again, this response took us off guard. When looking at the different options that they had to choose from, the number one thing they chose, 38%, more than 1 in 3, said that our best solution is choosing the right president.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so that's a huge group of students saying that's what we think is the most important thing to bring about solutions for our problems.
So there's obviously a lot of issues, a lot of problems that we could probably identify in the country. No matter what side you are on, you could probably say one side offers solutions while the other one provides problems. Wherever we stand, to say the president is the solution, that's pretty bold.
It is pretty bold. So, and we're learning through this that students are thinking about politics. I think sometimes we look at students and say, well, they're young, they don't care, they're not involved in it, they don't watch the news. But we're hearing a different story in the research.
Right. It seems like they're more engaged than what we anticipate, as well as what the adults are anticipating. Like, I don't think, based on our research, the adults are thinking it's very important to the students. Is that correct? Am I looking at this correctly?
Yeah, I see it the same way.
So yeah, we asked the question, how important to you is the topic of national politics? And 22% say it's very important, and even another 24% say it's somewhat important. So between the two, 46% are saying, yeah, it's very important or somewhat important. It has some sort of importance in their lives. But only 9% of the adults are saying it's very important to the students. So kind of degrading the importance of politics.
Yeah. So again, we're finding that we're getting into the minds of students, seeing what they think. And a lot of times as adults, we make a lot of assumptions, and we're learning as people that work with students, what are they really saying? What do they really think? What's important to them? And this is one where they're saying, how important is it to you? Almost half, 46%, are saying it's very important. Only 15%, you'll notice, saying it's not important at all. So they are definitely seem to be engaged, at least to the point where they believe that it is something that's important to them. We asked them another question. When they think about politics, how do they feel when they hear that term, when they hear that word? And some felt hopeful, some felt disillusioned or uninterested. But we thought it kind of stuck out to us that 19% of those students said they felt angry. So when they hear politics, they feel angry. And for a young person to feel such a strong emotion about something that's typically pretty far removed from their everyday life, that really says something pretty striking as well.
We're looking at data that's middle school and high school. So the majority of these students can't even vote yet. When you look at 19% feel angry, you got to wonder, does the anger come from something that's out of their control? Like, they can't even do anything about it. It is kind of an interesting number to look at for such a strong emotion.
Yeah, and we want to dive into that a little bit later about that anger thing and what do we do with that and how do we kind of guide students in that way.
So when we come back, how do we engage students in politics and civility?
Let's take a break in the action to think about all the wonderful things that happen on a school campus, like my 7th grade daughter's orchestra concert, as well as Claim Your Campus. Claim Your Campus is equipping and uniting students across the nation to pray for change on their campus. Check out the website at claimyourcampus.com, where you'll find free resources for youth workers, as well as downloading the app on Google Play and on the App Store.
Personally, I think that Obama's policy on immigration is way too lenient. However, I don't agree with Donald Trump that we should just send them all back and just be ridiculous about it.
There have been a lot of shootings recently, and so I do think that they need to tighten who can get it. I think they need to find some way to just make sure that the right people are getting guns for the right reasons.
As a presidential candidate, I believe that you should have to like meet the needs of all American citizens, not only like people of certain beliefs and lifestyles.
As teens, we should start like getting interested, because sooner or later we're gonna have to vote, and one of us might need to be president.
So we're learning about students, what they're saying. They're saying that it's important to them. A high number are saying politics, particularly even national politics. And Jason, something you pointed out that is so out of control, so far removed, that many of them aren't even voting age. The vast majority of these students are saying can't even vote yet, but it's important. So how do we engage students in this discussion of politics? And then we're going to get into how do we actually help them in the area of civility, which I think is probably everyone would agree that is super, super important. So let's start with parents and families. We wanted to know how much of their political viewpoints came from their families, particularly their parents. And so we ask them this question: how much do you share the political views of your parents? And 21% said they had absolutely nothing in common with their parents politically. So 1 in 5, when we ask them, you know, do you share the political views of your parents? They're saying no. And then on the other end, 10% said, I absolutely share everything in common with my parents. And our families do affect us in our political views. I listened to this podcast recently that really blew my mind. It made sense of so much. And I would encourage you to check it out. It's called Hidden Brain. And the episode is titled, When It Comes to Politics, Families Matter. And what they do is they describe how politics takes the metaphor of a family and brings it into the idea of the approach and the angle and the understanding that we have of how politics work. So, for example, they say that if you were raised in a family that had more of a strict environment, maybe kind of quote-unquote strict father type of atmosphere, where your parents or your dad, they knew right from wrong, they told you, and it was their job to make that clear and to teach you the right moral view, and it was more of a one-way type of family, more authoritarian, you tended to lean more conservative, more Republican. And on the other side of that, there was the nurturing parents idea. And so if you're raised in a family where you had nurturing parents, where the parents felt like their primary job was to empathize with the child, to know what they need, to have two-way, more open discussions, if you're raised more that way with more empathetic, nurturing parents, you tended to be more progressive, liberal, Democrat, however you want to label that. So between those two, it's interesting to think about your own upbringing right now. Were you raised more of a strict parent household or more of a nurturing side? Now, obviously, they nuance this and say that any parent, any good parent will do both, but depending on kind of the emphasis of how you were raised will make a difference in how you come at politics. Now, think about yourself for a minute and then think about your students. So if your students, if you can know their families well enough, you might be able to even tell what their political bent would be just by knowing their families, which is fascinating.
I've become interested in the last few years, mostly because my AP US History and my AP Gov classes the last few years. And so that's really made me get interested in it. And I talk about issues with my dad a lot, and we don't agree all the time, but and that caused some conflict, but it's good to debate about it and discuss different issues. Well, I think one thing that politicians aren't doing, especially lately, is compromising. Because it's politics, you have to be willing to compromise. I mean, you can't just have one way or the highway, because you'll never get anything done in Congress. and in the presidency. And so I think both parties need to start working together a little bit more and give up some of the things that they want and accepting other ideas as well and getting a better solution that'll work for everybody, or else nothing will ever get done.
I remember having some sort of political argument with my mom recently, where it was a disagreement. It wasn't heated or anything, but it was a slightly broader view of what she may have believed. And it's almost like you could see the disappointment in her eyes of like, oh, that's what you believe. But she never expressed that. She never came out and was like, I'm going to disown you. Or it was like she was still open about it. And she still had the discussion, but it was like, oh, you believe something a little bit different. So I wonder about the students and the parents and the disconnects.
Yeah, we don't have this information. I've wondered, what would this survey look like if we were to ask them 10 years from now when they're older and they're more an adult? Maybe they are married or have kids or whatever, but they're further on in their life. I wonder if they would tend to more share the views. It seems to me, and just in my life experience, a lot of people I know, they go through high school and college, they go through this stage where they kind of step away from their family and their parents in some of the views, particularly politically, and then they eventually end up coming back. Now, we don't know that. That's kind of my guess on how the trend might go. So these students are saying they have nothing to do with it. Part of me wonders, in 10 years from now, if they'd answer the same way. We don't know, but interesting.
Right, a little bit more maturity, a little bit more thought involved with the politics and how it affects their life directly as an adult. And so then the question is, how much should Christians be politically active? If by an adulthood, 18 and older, and you're a Christian, how active should you be politically? How involved? And we asked that same question to the students, and we got a pretty good response of, Christians should be very involved. 37% said very involved, and then another 51% said somewhat involved. And you know, we're pairing two answers together often, but that's 88% saying as a Christian there should be some sort of involvement in politics.
5% saying Christians should never be involved or rarely. So a huge majority saying they should. A small percentage, 5%, are saying they should never be involved. So students seem to be saying that Christians should be involved in politics in some way or another. One of the things in talking with students and thinking about that is, if this comes up, and I don't think we're advocating here, hey, you should do a talk with your students on politics, but when things like this come up, I think talking with them about the balance between being involved, maybe, as they're saying, we think Christians should be about being involved, but yet not putting their hope in that system. I think that's so key, that when we talk with students, we keep the right perspective on everything and say, you can be involved, but just don't put your ultimate hope in that system, because I think it's safe to say that political system, especially the United States, will let you down at some point or another.
It appears to be a little bit broken.
Yeah.
It's not flawless, let's say that. And when we place our hope in something that is not perfect and it can disappoint us, it can cause this emotion that we talked about earlier, this anger. And when we look at 19% of students feel anger when they are hearing the term politics or start discussing politics. And even when, as youth leaders, we start talking about politics, it's the idea of like, once I start sharing my views, is there going to be a pushback, or is there going to be resistance, or is there going to be a wedge between our relationship with the students because they may believe something differently than what we believe? And so you don't really know how to approach the topic, but the topic of anger is striking to me. And it makes me think of this video that I recently viewed of, she was driving by, she saw this yard sign of the opposing candidates and the person in their driveway. And so she chose to flip the person off and say, F you. Through her window, didn't stop, didn't just roll down her window, said F you and drove off. And so this other person decided to get into their car and follow this woman. And eventually they all got pulled over. And so this woman was recording her response and the interaction with the cops and just discussing her thoughts. And it was clear that she was extremely angry at not only this stranger that she doesn't even know that has opposing views, but also the reason why the cops pulled him over. And it just, it was striking to me that we can't even have a discussion of opposing views without this anger. And it's just, I'm not an angry person. And so if you don't believe what I believe, I'm not going to be like, F you. I'm not saying that's the typical response of students, but we feel that when we start bringing up politics and all of a sudden you see this disconnect or removal of the conversation or disinterest when you're talking to somebody with opposing views.
Yeah, and it's a great teaching opportunity for us that work with students is to help teach them how to respect people with different viewpoints, even those that they feel strongly about. And I don't think we need to veer students away from feeling strongly about things necessarily, but having a strong viewpoint but respecting someone else who doesn't have and share that same one, that's an important life skill. And we may be the best environment, those of us that are youth workers, to teach them things like that about respect. And when you get into the political discussion, I think another thing that's really key for us that are working with students is to help them be able to not just respect people, but separate the moral issues from the political ones. And I'm really grieved at how political leaders have warped some of the things that are moral and made them political issues. And I'm gonna choose one here that tends to be somewhat controversial, but the example of abortion. I'm a pro-life person, and Jason, I know you are as well, and in every sense of that word, are for life and believe it's important and believe that from the moment of conception that as a human being. And what's sad is to take a moral issue like that and to make it a political one and to associate it maybe with a certain party is such a dangerous thing, and it's happening a lot. And along with the example of life and abortion, there are things like war, which is littered with moral choices that students have to reckon with. And so things like that, things like caring for the poor, the environment, these can be definitely filled with moral choices and issues, and the political machine by design comes in, scoops those things up and makes them their own. And I think it's our role as voices in the lives of students to help them differentiate the two between the moral and political issues.
Should the religious views of the president, does that matter in your opinion?
Yes, but more of in the standpoint of their values, because if they are the same religion as me, they most likely have similar values.
I don't think it should matter that much. It doesn't to me, at least. And because I know a lot of people think that our country was founded on Christian ideas, but it really wasn't. And like, In God We Trust wasn't added to our currency until the 1950s. And One Nation Under God wasn't added to the Pledge of Allegiance until the 1950s as well, when there was a vast Christian movement in this country. And so I think what our country was founded on, as evident in the First Amendment, is that religious freedom is what our country should believe in.
So I think being a Christian, if you're going to run for president or whatever religion you are, like, as a Christian, we still have to love everybody, like they were saying earlier. So it's going to take compromise, like they were saying.
Now, this summer, I had this unique opportunity to be a part, our ministry was, of this event called Together. I don't know if you've heard about this or heard of it. It was on July 16th, I believe was the date. It was a gathering of several hundred thousand, mainly young people, gathered to worship and to pray right on the nation's capital, right on the steps of the Washington Monument. And the night before, a few of us that were there, different leaders and people representing different ministries and people from all over the country, we gathered together to pray. And I'll never forget the night before, Jason, standing there looking across the block and seeing the White House and praying and looking above the White House and imagining that, for me, I know there's a king that reigns far above that White House, that is the ruler of this world. He's in control and he's still over everything. And when we are talking with students, it is important for us to be able to speak with civility, even with those we might disagree with, and pray for our political leaders. And this has been a discipline of mine for a long time when I felt convicted in my own life to say, I may not agree with a local, a regional, or a national leader in politics, but I should, as a Christian, as a person that hopefully is filled up in my heart with the love of God, can pray for them earnestly. And Scripture talks to us about that.
Right. It says in Romans 13, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And our hope as people of Jesus supersedes any political hope. As we look at the civility, the respect for others, the respect for governing authorities, as Christians, we should not justify our anger or justify our actions and distancing ourselves from other people that believe in the opposing viewpoints, but instead act with respect. Do we pray for our enemies? Do we pray for those who are in office that we may not believe with or believe that they have the best interests in mind for what we believe in? But do we submit to those governing authorities? I think that's a crucial thought, in a sense, to show respect for those who are on a different wavelength or a different belief.
And ultimately, it reminds us as youth workers that our goal isn't to change their minds politically, but it's to point students and their hope to the highest place of all, and that's Jesus.
I believe that.
So again, as always, check us out on Facebook. You'll find links, other information, discussion with youth workers. Look up Never the Same. You'll see the podcast link, and we hope to see you there for some further great discussion about this issue.